Welcome to a very special edition of Technado live from Deadwood, South Dakota, sponsored by ACI Learning, the folks behind IT Pro. You can use that code Technado30 for a discount on your IT Pro membership. You cannot avoid that spiel. Even in Deadwood, can't. I'm still going to say it.
She's bound by law.
I am. That's true. You don't want to know what would happen.
Oh, man, the restraining
if
orders.
I didn't say it. It would not be pretty. You might have noticed that we've got a little bit of a different crew than usual this week. We are joined, of course, you know, I'm here and Daniel's here, but we are joined by our friend Mike Saunders, or Michael, if you're feeling a bit formal. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm in Deadwood. It's Wild West Hackenfest. Beautiful weather. We're going to have a great time.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It
is pretty out here, isn't it?
It is beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
This is. We had a great backdrop last year, but this backdrop tops it, if it's possible.
Yeah. We just like to take it to the next level every time.
I would agree.
That's what we do.
I would agree. It's what
next
we do.
Time, we'll be...
we're going to be on the mountain.
Up there.
Yeah. We're going to hike 6 miles.
I'm going to have an oxygen tank on.
Yeah. I need a Sherpa.
not if it's as warm as it is right now.
So it's warm here, not going to lie.
It's a little toasty.
It's not normally this warm here when we're here.
Yeah. It's going to get cooler on Friday, though. But as of recording this, we got some great news articles we're going to jump into today. And I am eager to get your input on some of these because they are
Mike's eager to hear what they are.
Yeah,
that's true. Yes.
I've been on vacation for a week, so this is all going to be a surprise.
He's going in blind. That's the best time to do this.
Yeah,
you got to go in blind. It makes it more fun. We are going to start with one of our favorite segments. This is breaking news.
Breaking news!
This week, we've got a couple of articles for breaking news. We'll start off with this one. Palo Alto Networks warns of firewall hijack bugs with public exploit. So this is, both of our breaking news pieces today are going to have to do with exploits because, I mean, it's breaking and you got to patch now. What is more breaking than that?
That giant log truck that just drove by. I don't know if everybody could hear that, but man.
You have better ears than I do.
He was riding that Jake brake.
I was locked in. So these flaws were found in Palo Alto Networks' Expedition solution. So I believe it's the, PanOS firewalls. This does have public exploit code. So they are warning, hey, patch now because you don't want to be on the victim end of this. Again, this is breaking, so we're just seeing this for the first time. I don't know if you got a chance to read any deeper into it.
I did not. And Mike, I know he hasn't seen it at all, and we should probably get some sort of sunshade. not the brightest nits on the planet when it comes
that
to this laptop.
True.
It's enhanced by the glow of the dust.
I do enjoy that, don't you? I mean, that's a feature.
You cleaned it?
No, man. It's just like a VM server normally.
Wow.
That's a feature.
I needed it out here.
Hey, look
don't
at that.
Don't judge me, okay?
there's information on the screen.
On the screen, we could probably.
Are you gonna do a little
do that
zooming
too? Yeah.
That might be helpful.
So, I thought it was interesting that like I have it under good authority that SQL injections are completely extinct and a thing of the past. They never,
well, of course,
they never happen
because we always sanitize
anymore,
input.
Right?
Yeah,
since
never.
Like 2000, that was the last when the last SQL injection bird fell.
I actually wasn't even born when the last SQL injection. Yeah, you know it. Just
and yet here's.
I mean,
one
I haven't found one since 2 weeks ago. So.
It's basically extinct at this point.
I always love because I'll get like messages and stuff and LinkedIn or whatever if I mention SQL and they're like, that's so old. Nobody cares. Like, no one's got SQL. I'm like, have you read the news within the last
where have you been?
Day?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm looking at this and I don't know anything about this bug, but it seems like this must be in like the management interface.
Almost.
Because SQL injection, things like that, which in my head, I'm screaming, why is your management interface exposed to the internet at large?
See, you need to shut up, Mike, because I like managing stuff from the comfort
from
of
anywhere.
My home
yeah.
in my underwear. That's a fun picture. Anyway, don't think about that.
All right.
It's a little late for that.
Hey, anyway, moving on. It's got all the latest and greatest. I mean, this is a who's who.
Yeah.
Of problems that they've got going on. Poor Palo Alto.
I mean, this is like the 90s called and they wanted their exploits back.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've got command injection vulnerability, two of those, SQL injection, clear text credentials, and stored logs.
Three of these bad boys are unauthenticated.
Yeah. And unauthenticated reflective XSS. So, like, it's got
clear text creds.
All of it.
Stored in the logs.
That's our favorite.
I don't know how to. That's just fun for everyone right there. That's the whole family can show up to that party.
I love storing stuff in clear text. That's my favorite. Yeah. It makes it so much easier for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
So here's what I'm taking, though. The bad news is dumpster fire for PanOS right now. But the good news is there's a proof of concept available. Hold on. That's not the good news, right? The good news is there is a patch for this.
There are fixes, yes, for all listed issues.
And we all fell prostrate and worshipped.
And saying that any usernames, passwords, and API keys should be rotated after you upgrade, of course, because, you know.
Because you might have been completely hosed?
You may have been. Yeah. It's possible. It's possible.
Just saying.
I don't want to assume. We know what they say about assuming.
You're right 100% of the
time. Yeah,
100%
of the time. You do it. You never make a fool of yourself, ever.
It's absolutely true.
So this was not the only exploit on the breaking news docket today. We had another one from Mozilla. They fixed a Firefox zero day that was actively being exploited in attacks. And we always like to see when things are fixed, but it's a little less fun to see that they're actively exploited. So looking a little bit further into this, it was a critical use after free vulnerability that was being exploited. I'm going to have to look at what the... I mean, it's critical, so I guess that would mean probably it's a 10, but I'll have to look into that.
It's probably not a 10.
You don't think so?
If it's being exploited, we typically see, depending on whether or not it's unauthenticated, whether it's remote, like in some other factors, it could be still hovering around the 7s or 8s.
Yeah.
Good point.
So I would be interested in seeing. Yeah, I know you can pull
I'll see
that
if
up.
I can find
yeah.
that.
I'm sure there's an organization somewhere that would tell you whether or not the CVSS score was above a 9.
Let's see. Probably. 9.8.
Okay, so that's not
pretty
good.
Pretty close.
Well,
so that means all those things that we were talking about is most likely.
Low complexity, no privileges required.
Yeah. There you go.
So that's never fun.
Now, Mike, as a pen tester and a red teamer, do you feel weird when you see this stuff? Because I'm sure you get a little like, ooh. And then you go,
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Right?
Like, we want these things to exist so that we can, you know, use them on our test, but we don't want them to exist because we're not the only one using them. We're using them for good to try to improve security. And yeah, sometimes it's sad to say you get kind of numb to these. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's another exploit because there's another one and another one and another one. And you just think like,
it's like
when are we
going to
fix this problem?
That's
well,
true.
We fixed that problem, and then we find another one.
Or we introduced another one.
Right, with the fix.
Yeah.
It's like a Hydra. Cut off one head, two more pop
exactly.
up.
Yeah?
It can be frustrating on one hand, but then there's job security on the other. So.
Indeed.
Yeah. This article says that, of course, there's an active exploitation status, and there's not really any information on how people are being targeted. So they're just saying, hey, upgrading to the latest versions is essential. Please do that immediately. Because there are fixes, you just got to upgrade. So if you're a Firefox user like me, probably.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No, I know that. I'm just saying.
Here's what's funny. You know, it's like back in the day, anytime any of my hobby horse software gets popped with some big bone, Don or whoever used to be on the show, or anybody that'll be on the show, they like to, or just in the office. That thing I hate that you like. It's stupid. And it's super vulnerable. Then I'll be like, yeah, wait tomorrow. When all the Mac OS stuff comes out, right? Or when Safari, or whatever the case is. It's literally just a waiting game of before the thing you like is completely vulnerable.
Everybody gets hit sometime.
That's how
Absolutely.
It works.
Nobody's immune. Well, that's all I've got for our breaking news, but that's not all we have for today, of course. we just have quite the scope of stuff. This one was interesting. It has to do with air-gapped systems that were targeted by a group called Golden Jackal. They targeted embassies and air-gap systems using malware tool sets that, to my knowledge, after reading this, were like novel tool sets that came from this group.
Correct.
And this is the second time that they've created a tool set like this in like 5 years, that specifically for targeting air-gap systems.
You know, nature abhors a vacuum, don't they? And here's the thing. It's like, how many times do you hear about APTs targeting air-gap systems? That's not a common thing. So they're really carving a niche for themselves. Mike, have you dealt with like air gap systems in the past? And
only in like theory, like not actually having to test, because the tool set and the skill set to attack air gap systems is another level. You know, because they're air gapped, they're not connected. So now what is the signaling channel to speak to that air gapped system? And there's a book out there, Silence on the Wire, it's called.
Oh. book recommendation.
And I can't remember who wrote it. You can get it at No Starch. And talks about all these kind of like out of band signaling mechanisms, figuring out what an RSA key is by reading the flashing on a flashing light on a hard drive, or
that is insane.
Being able to read what's on a monitor from the electromagnetic contamination. Yeah, Tempest stuff.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And that whole suite is wild.
Like Faraday cage. Like you have a device inside of a Faraday cage and they can still exfiltrate data out of it.
Wow, that would be.
And I'm like,
I don't know how that would work. That's wild.
And we've talked on the show before about like audio emanations, like the clicks on a keyboard. If it's a specific keyboard, it's so consistent in the quality control of that keyboard manufacturer that each one of the buttons, with up to 90-something% accuracy, will sound the same as another one.
Yeah.
So they can detect what you're typing by just hearing it.
And they don't even have to know that. By doing frequency analysis, we know the most frequent letters, we know what people are typing,
kind of
like you can listen to the cadence of someone type and then analyze the cadence of the keystrokes and figure out what they're typing. That book also talks about that type of thing. All
so
you need
here's
is
what
microphone.
I'm going to do. I'm going to find me a little spot up in here around there somewhere. I'm going to build me a cabin. I'm going to become a Luddite.
So
no more technology. It's the devil.
All you mechanical keyboard users with your cherry whatever.
You're just making it easy for them.
Yep. Yep. Take that.
I want a light key sensing keyboard that doesn't actually have moving parts.
to me, something like this is because you air gap stuff specifically for you don't want it to be vulnerable to attacks like this, right? So
Correct. The
idea that there's a group that is specifically targeting air gap systems because, like, well, hey, it's free game. Yeah. Nobody else is doing it. So let me just see if I can get in there.
And if I'm not mistaken, a couple of their tools were specific to USB based attacks. So
they have a little chart down here. Yeah. Golden USB copy, golden USB go for monitoring USB drives and copying files for exfiltration. And then a couple of others as well. They've got like we'll put the links, of course, in the description, but they've got a whole chart of all their different tools that they've either invented and or used.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Golden Jackal
making
didn't come
a name.
To play. They did not come to play. And I also love the names for their, it's very like straightforward. Jackal Control, Jackal Steel, Jackal Worm. You know who created it
and you know
what it does. It steals. Jackal Steel. That's very simple, you know? Honestly, I prefer a name like that to a name like, what was the other one? What was
I
the one
you're
going to
start
really
naming them all like Diaper Stink or whatever.
Well, okay. So the tool is nice because then at least I know what it does.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am of the school of thought that why are we giving threats cool names? Why do we not name them things like Diaper Boy to shame them? You know,
that's
like
it, Diaper Boy.
Camaro Dragon is a cool name. Like that is a sick name. If I was
I want to say the person that named that group contacted me. And said, I got a lot of slack over that name.
Really?
And they, my company almost didn't allow me to name them that because they thought it might be offensive in some way, shape, or form, or whatever. I'm like, it's badass is what it is.
Yeah.
Offensive?
I know, right?
Well, okay.
This is the times we live in. So if that's the case, that's the case. You know, somebody in the marketing and or HR department was like, might not be the look we're going for. But Camaro Dragon is bitching.
Maybe that
like,
person.
I want that airbrush on the side of a van.
that's so specific. You know, maybe the person in marketing or HR or whatever that didn't like the name was thinking to call them Diaper Boy. And in that case, I would have to agree with them.
I want to airbrush that on the side of a van.
Diaper Boy.
Yeah. People are going to be like, there goes that weirdo again.
At least they'll be able to see you coming. They'll be warned. So,
what have I got myself into?
Mike, you knew what you signed up for.
I did.
We will give you the opportunity to evacuate at the break if you so choose. But if you choose to stay, then you're stuck here. So we'll have to see what else comes out of Golden Jackal in the future because that's a little scary. It's scary stuff.
Crazy.
Speaking of scary stuff, talking about air gap systems, this kind of stuff is exactly why you air gap certain systems. American Water was hit by a cyber attack and the billing systems were also disrupted, which is never fun. American Water is the largest publicly regulated water and wastewater utility in the U.S. So that's not super reassuring to know that the largest water utility has been hit by a cyber attack and their internal systems were affected in some way, shape, or form.
So they're like a water utility company?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, water
largest
and wastewater.
Water
and wastewater. Okay.
It is
the largest one.
It's a New Jersey-based company. Tony Soprano did it. That's
no
what happens.
No wonder they got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
They got to have a big operation.
That is
I kid the Jersey. I'm just, stereotypes are fun sometimes.
They provide water services to 14 million people across 14 states and discovered unauthorized activity within its networks on October 3rd. So they just disclosed Monday of this week that this was happening. So a couple days after that. So that's a little scary.
Yeah.
But this I guess is why I'd be curious to know if this was air gapped or not. My guess would be no.
Highly doubt it.
I'm gonna go with no.
That would be my guess.
I love Mike's. I'm gonna go with no.
I mean, if you ever got on Shodan and just started looking at the stuff that's out there,
it could be a little bit of a time consumer, right?
Yeah, time consumer, and then it just makes you want to close your computer and throw it in the fire and walk away.
And then
away.
Go get on top of that hill up there.
Yeah.
I'll see you up there, guys. I guarantee you ain't going to be long. Y'all going to be right there next to me.
Yeah.
Shooting at airplanes with a 22 rifle.
Welcome.
Screaming at the sky.
Well, if you weren't on a list before.
I think we're past that. Hope's lost on that front.
That's what the Unabomber did.
Yes, I'm fully aware.
Okay,
yes.
I didn't know if you knew. You're kind of young. You might not be familiar with him.
No,
all his little exploits.
Yeah, I'm familiar with his work. I think that's
you're
something that if I didn't know at this point, like you've referenced it so many times that if I hadn't put the pieces together, I'd be ashamed of
it
myself.
It was a side channel.
It was. I'm familiar with his work.
I emanated enough about the Unabomber.
You did.
That you know what was
by,
on
by
his
osmosis. I'm
disturbed by the amount that he talks about the Unabomber. I'm aware of this.
Mike's like worried for his safety right now. So back to this. I guess most importantly, they did confirm, for now, that the attack did not impact the operation of its water or wastewater facilities. All that is functioning normally. The thing that they're worried about is specific systems that have to do with billing and customer information, customer data, which is
obviously
still not that's still not great. But I don't know if I had to pick between maybe some of my data getting exposed and not having access to water. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I might probably
expediently go for the water thing.
Oh, truly?
You're like, I want some water.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Seeing as I can live with my data being exposed, I can't live without water.
I see what you mean. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds a lot like the Colonial Pipeline. The pipeline operations weren't impacted, but billing was.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which is why the executives were crying in a corner. They don't like not getting money.
That's true.
You would think that if that were the case, they would stop connecting things to the internet.
On the plus side, we don't know this for sure, but I think we can make an assumption that there's some amount of network segregation there. That's why they only got to the billing system.
True.
So,
there was some security
reassuring.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
I mean, if they get my data at this point, who doesn't have it?
I was going to say, at what point do we find a data breach equilibrium where there's been so many data breaches that chances are... You already have, what's the purpose of continually data breaching? I get it. New people are born every day. And there's people coming in and people going out. So there's a cycling that goes on. But, I mean, at some point, I feel like there's a non-zero possibility that there's at least a day that could happen.
There's just no more usable data.
It's like, you don't need to breach anymore. You just go to the breaches that have already occurred.
Yeah. Let somebody else do the work for you.
Yeah, it's already been done.
Just take from what's already at the table.
All the hard work has been done by the hackers before us.
Oh, that's a cheery thought. Yeah. Thank you for that, Daniel.
It's like the hacker Mustafa.
It's a bright look
with hacker Simba.
Hacker Mustafa?
Yeah, right?
Or Mufasa.
Mufasa, that's it. Mufasa.
You were so close. Yeah. Mustafa's a different thing, I think.
I was thinking of Aladdin because he called him Mr. Doubting Mustafa.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. You were close then.
I'll take your word for it.
I have three little kids. I have seen all those movies. Huh? Many, many.
I fully
many, many,
believe
many
you.
Times.
Well, beyond just knowing that maybe there was some customer data that was impacted, there was not really a lot of information about which systems specifically were compromised or any specific details about the type of attack. So it'd be interesting to see if that comes up in a story in the future.
I see a Deja News coming up.
yes. Maybe in a future episode of Technado. But for now, we've got another segment coming up that is, just one of my favorites.
Oh, just one.
This is... Nope! Oh, that was awful.
That was weak.
That was awful. Can I try again?
Try again.
Can I
try again?
Okay.
It's been a while.
Dope!
Man.
That was rough. You know, it's the mountain air.
It's the mountain air. Too dry.
Yeah. Anyway,
You're used to the saline of the ocean water
okay,
in
sure.
Florida.
Yes. Dough.
The humidity. Dough.
So ignoring my poor impressionist abilities today, don't ignore Apple Update's patch critical security flaws. Thank you for the pity laugh. Thank you for the pity dad laugh. I appreciate
it. It's funny. I'm laughing at Mike giving you the pity laugh.
As long as I can make you smile, that's really all I'm asking for. Apple has released new updates for iOS and iPadOS, a couple security problems that I believe presented a privacy issue because there was a bug that allowed saved passwords to be spoken out loud with Apple's voiceover assistive technology.
I don't see the problem.
Well, yeah, because you don't use it. Also, well, yeah, okay, Mr. Android over there. I am an Apple user and an iPhone user, but I don't use voiceover assist, so yeah. I would not have known about this.
No.
But it is definitely a widely used feature.
So you know what I thought was interesting about this is, well, okay, it's already patched, right? We're in patch land. Great.
Sure.
Awesome. Probably very, like, specific circumstances that would allow for the password manager or the voiceover system to speak your password out loud. But tell me which one of you, and be honest,
yeah,
would have thought, you're an Apple developer, you're developing all these apps and doing all this stuff, that it would have been a problem, either as the security person thinking, will the voice assistant read these passwords out loud? That thought never crossed their mind.
Mm-mm.
And the voice assistant people never thought, you know, we should make sure that doesn't speak the passwords. It just never, I guarantee.
Yeah.
That's the sit down at Apple that happened. Like, who missed this? It's like, who did miss this? Who would have thought this?
That makes me wonder if there is any kind of security measure. What about things like social security numbers? I wonder if there is a measure in place to prevent this voiceover feature from reading
like
things like that.
Like a DLP thing?
Like, what do they consider sensitive enough that they won't allow the voiceover app to read it out loud?
And it would just depend on, like, the circumstance, too.
Yeah.
Like, in some circumstances, it's completely secure to speak your...
Yeah, when you're alone in your house.
Social security number. Like, Sophia's social security number is... Funny.
Very funny.
Anyway, but yeah, like, how does it know that you're in a secure environment or a non-secure environment? So it's just default to secure. It should.
Yep.
Right? It should, but it's still an easy thing, I think. And this is where vulnerability comes from, right? This is the vulnerability fairy has come to Apple and went, yay, yeah, you get a vulnerability and you get a vulnerability. Look under your chair. Vulnerabilities for everybody. And that's how it happens. You don't think. You're trying to get a product done, trying to make something cool. You're focused on the main parts of it. And the little things kind of slip by. Mike, tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. You know, I don't remember the context, but I remember seeing a tweet here last week or two where someone was talking about some type of security type of problem and was basically tweeting the lead of the project.
Gotcha.
Type of thing. And the guy's like, we are in dev mode. I don't have time to think about that stuff. Like he's busy writing. I'm too busy writing code, man. I can't
have
be
to
concerned
make it
about
work.
Security.
Yeah. Security, that's an afterthought. That's bolt-ons.
Interesting. I guess I would never have thought to, I guess it's easy from an outsider's perspective to be like, well, why wouldn't this be fixed? And why wouldn't they do this? But you're right. There's a million other things that are going on to
Walk
worry
a mile
about.
In a dev's shoes.
I'd rather not. I fully respect
not
what they do.
Not a big Birkenstock fan, I think.
I'm glad doing what I do because, man, I've done development. There's a reason I'm a hacker.
Yeah.
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 I've heard horror stories, so respect the developers.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
As far as this issue goes, it has been resolved with improved validation processes. It doesn't look like, I mean, there were a handful of devices that were affected, but as far as phones go, it was just the iPhone XS and later. Excuse me, I read that wrong. So every iPhone since the XS.
Oh, there's no big deal.
I missed those last two letters there.
An iPhone at all.
Yeah. No big deal unless you own an iPhone. And then some of the iPads as well. A lot of the iPads are affected. So update to iOS 18.0.1.
There it is.
To make sure that you're not vulnerable to this issue if you are using
that. So if you haven't upgraded 18 yet,
now's the time.
Yeah. Yeah, if the rest of the features were not enough for you to upgrade, hopefully this is.
Well, now that there's an 18.0.1, I might actually upgrade because I am not a .0
That's fair.
Release guy.
You're going to wait like for them to work out the initial bugs? Fan.
I don't like to be a beta tester.
I hear you.
So.
I hear you.
It's understandable.
They love you to be a beta tester.
They would. They would. They've been trying to get me to upgrade.
Just get on board, Mike. Stop being a holdout.
If I had access to the new Apple AI features that are supposed to be coming...
Mm.
I don't know. I might have been tempted to like immediately download just so that I could try them, but I won't have access to them regardless because my phone apparently can't handle it. So I'm still a little salty about that.
Piece of crap.
Yeah, my garbage phone that I got a whole year ago. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so old.
I don't know how you don't just go put it in the shitter right now.
Yeah, throw it off the balcony like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, do it.
Just chuck it.
Do it.
See, there's a difference. I will not be doing any of the AI stuff.
Yeah,
I'm a Luddite when it comes to that.
That's
just
fair.
Like, keep the AI out of my life.
The more I read about it, the more I'm kind of glad that I won't have access to it, so the temptation won't even be there. Because some of it is, I'm reading a book about Clearview AI right now, and it's freaky. So the more I read about AI, the more I don't like it.
The more you're really turned off by it.
The more I become an AI denier, if you will.
An AI denier.
Well, I think we can probably call for a break there.
I think it's time.
Give Mike an opportunity to get out of the sun. We did not realize would be in the direct
We're
heat.
All going to be red, roasty lobsters.
I may, if I brought my hat with me, I may go put it on. So I may come back with a hat on. You don't know.
Yeah,
you won't even recognize me.
Continuity error.
Not even recognize me. So we will go ahead and take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more here on TechNado.
There's a new CCNA in town, and here at ACI Learning, we've got you covered with a brand new CCNA version. This course covers the theory that you need to succeed, as well as the practical hands-on application of technologies. You're going to learn network fundamentals, network access technologies, IP connectivity, IP services. Don't waste any more time. Get signed up for the new CCNA here at ACI Learning.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us through that break. Once again, here in Deadwood, if you are enjoying this episode, we would love it if you left a comment, let us know what you liked, what you want to see in the future, leave a like, and maybe subscribe to the channel if you haven't already so you never miss an episode of TechNado in the future. We're not always in Deadwood, but our studio back in Gainesville is pretty cool as well. So
it's not too bad.
I highly recommend checking it out. I quite enjoy it. So we are going to keep on trudging through. I think we got maybe four or five more that we'll be able to go through today. So I'm looking forward to these. We're going to get into some interesting territory. This first one comes to us from TechCrunch. U.S. government considers historic breakup of Google an antitrust case. So the allegation is that, hey, Google's got a monopoly on search and search advertising, and that is a big no-no. So they are going to attempt, the U.S. Justice Department is going to attempt to force Google to sell off parts of its business and break up that monopoly.
You're too big, Google.
Eh?
Too big. Damn you and your bigness. We're not going to have that anymore. It's not the first time this kind of thing has happened.
I was going to say, this is the high-tech analysis that we come here for.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Too big. Get rid of your bigness.
That's right.
So it would definitely reshape a lot of things. So
Can you imagine Google not being the leviathan that it is now?
That, I'm like trying, this is the first I've heard of it, and I'm trying to wrap my head around this, this whole thing, and it's kind of, wow.
Brave New World.
Yeah.
I can't decide if, because, you know me, I'm never one to be like, to advocate for a ton of intervention where it's not like, hey, go and do business and grow and whatever. But at the same time, I'm also not a huge fan of monopolies or, I don't know where I stand on this.
The problem comes in when they become anti-competitive. They do not want competition.
Right.
So they undercut and they do things that, keep their competition from getting ahead in the market or innovating. If they innovate, then they do it again, and then they take, oh, now we're better. Oh, yeah, we saw what you did. They have such the ability to scale up and do whatever it is the heck you're doing, and then you just kind of go by. Because why would I go off of Google if everything I do is on Google?
That's true.
Yeah. Right? Why would I take a chance on the little guy that's got some cool new idea when Google came 3 to 6 months later, and they have the same thing, and I'm already on Google, right? That's the problem when they start creating anti-competitive, or they start doing anti-competitive things, and that's how you gain a monopoly, because nobody goes anywhere else. Yeah. And that is the antithesis of what we like to call capitalism.
I know there are some people that are like, for that reason, they're so anti-Google, it's almost like they're tired of seeing it everywhere, so they're like, screw Google, I'm gonna use anything but Google, so they will only use like Bing or DuckDuckGo or whatever. So are you like a Google denier? Or I use Google all the time. It's just the easiest, most accessible thing. I don't go out of my way to not use it.
There are times I will consult other search engines just to get a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely do not use the AI search because, man, those results are...
No.
Those results are...
You and Gemini aren't
God.
That?
They're so bad. They're so bad. You know what I want?
What do you
I
want?
Really want? I want Ask Jeeves, man. Just give me Ask Jeeves.
Bring it back.
Bring it
Alta
back.
Alta Vista.
That's all I need.
I'm sorry?
Alta Vista. These are old search engines.
Very old search engines.
Okay. I could not understand what you were saying. I was like, huh?
Hasta la vista dot box.
The beginning, you know, at when we once got to the web, kind of as we know at some of the early search engines, you had Alta Vista. You had one called Ask Jeeves. Ask Jeeves. He was a little butler guy.
Okay,
you would ask
he had like a little draped over his butler outfit.
Yeah, all right.
And you'd ask Jeeves, and he'd give you information.
Yeah.
You said it super fast, and I was like, what am I hearing right now?
Even Yahoo used to be like a huge search engine.
Yeah.
That one I'm familiar
with.
Right?
Like they were big for a while. And then Google just came in and started wrecking everybody. They became, because they were the best product.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, they started off, they were absolutely the best product. I think where the government here is starting to get a little like, hey now, is because of the things they're doing to stay the best product.
Mm.
Okay? That's the problem. So, and they have their hands in everything. They've grown to be such a large company with arms in every area of tech that it's like, this is the monopoly they've built. And it's like, we're not huge fans of monopolies. So let's not do that.
Yeah, I would agree.
And, you know, Google may even be like, cool, you know, we'll break up. We'll break the company up. You don't have to. You say that, but it's happened.
Maybe eventually, but for now, they're not.
Oh, right now, they're like, heck no.
Yeah, they're saying, this is radical and sweeping, and you are going to negatively affect American innovation. They're not happy right now. Ooh,
I was just thinking about, just last week, I was thinking about, like, the number of emails, like, number of accounts that are tied back to a Gmail account. And I was like, man, I should really diversify. If something were to happen to Google...
Yeah.
Like, that could be a gigantic pain. And then here we are.
Yeah, you want to decentralize, right? Because, if you got all your eggs in the Google basket and something happens to Google.
Now I've got 900 email accounts, and that's just, no one's got time for that.
And then not only that, but, like, they've long been known to be a little too heavy-handed when it comes to, what's that you're doing there?
No.
I'm going to record it. I'm going to put it in a server.
No, data access and usage is absolutely not one of the points of this case. Absolutely not.
It's definitely not on the screen. Definitely
not at all.
Not.
Oh,
not
wait
at
a
all.
Minute.
The Department of Justice has asked for remedies across four areas that they have deemed are issue areas: search, distribution, data access and usage. So it's almost like Mike read their mind. Extending search monopoly and advertising practices. Those are the four areas that they said, hey, we need a solution here. So, Daniel, maybe you're right. Maybe eventually Google will be like, yeah, whatever. It's fine.
It's going to probably become either just play ball under your own volition or we will get involved and make you play ball. So what's it going to be? And, you know, when the mafioso shows up with his baseball bat and says, you know, you got a nice search engine thing going on here. It'd be a shame. Something bad would have happened to it.
There were analysts at Bernstein that wrote, a piece or a blog post about this. And one of the things they said was, the last thing Google needs right now in the broader AI battle
They're
is having
suffering.
To fight with one hand tied behind their backs by regulators. You know, I just, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know a whole lot. But I feel like a lot of the issues that come up with, like this AI stuff, there's this big rush to be like, oh, we got to have the newest thing relating to AI. I'm so sick of hearing about it. But it's like... That's how you end up with, like, issues. Not just, quality issues, but security issues, things like that.
Sure.
So, hey, you know what? Maybe we should tie a hand behind the back of Google and slow them down a little bit. Like, let's just calm down and slow down the process. I get it. We want to make progress. We want to innovate. But, like...
They forget to tell you, Google has, like, 9 more arms.
Exactly. Yes. Google is a monster.
So one arm behind their back. Oh, goodness me.
Yeah. I don't. I'm a little sour about that. Probably can't tell because I have such a sunny disposition right now.
Just a little. Salty,
just a little sour. We'll maybe move on from that because otherwise I'm gonna.
She's about to go off.
Yeah. This one I don't have as
Sophia
much.
Sophia Jones.
I don't have as much of a personal opinion on this one, but this one is interesting. Lua malware targeting student gamers via fake game cheats. And I, if y'all are longtime watchers of Technado, I feel like we've covered this before, but time just moves so quickly, and I only have so much space for things in my head. So maybe I'm remembering wrong. But if we've covered this before, please remind me, because this just sounds really familiar. It's been targeting educational institutions and student gamers, this Lua malware. And it just sounds so familiar to me. Does this name sound familiar to you? Have you heard this come up in the news cycle before?
It does sound familiar, but there's a lot of, Lua's in a lot of things. So maybe that's why. Like, it's just a new variation of...
Was it Nmap?
Yeah, I think Nmap scripting engine is Lua.
Maybe that's something enough. I'm not sure.
Well, and they make a lot of games in Lua, which is why they're targeting... Apparently, and here's a fun fact. I like listening to things like Darknet Diaries and, all these different hacker podcasts and stuff, because it's fun to stay on top of things and just hear cool stories from the trenches. And a lot of hackers started off gamers that decided to hack their games, figure out how to do that, and then get neck deep into game hacking. So I'm not really surprised to see that this is a avenue of attack. I'm surprised we don't see it more, to be honest with you. Right? And what's the best bait on earth is, I'm going to help you do something you ain't supposed to do. Right? You're already in that kind of like, you're skirting the line between criminal and legal.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of sketchy. You might not be technically breaking the law yet, but...
But you're violating probably at least like a terms of service or something.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Doing it.
Right? And you're getting away with like, how is it that I cannot beat this person in this game? You're trolling people. And so you're definitely moving into that realm. So I can see someone going, I wonder, did this start off with someone going, I'm sick of all these cheaters. I'm going to learn Lua, and I'm going to make malware packages specific to them. And ha, ha, ha.
Teach them a lesson.
Teach them a lesson. I think that would be awesome.
It's interesting
kind of
you
awesome
said, you know, talking about the game cheats, becoming hackers, because there's still a lot of, in a lot of things like EDR evasion stuff, like, unhooking kernel modules and getting around those types of protections, a lot of the stuff we use is based on stuff that people
came
straight out of the game hacking.
That's crazy, right? And it just goes to show you how, while, yes, the end thing that you're doing is different, underneath the hood, it's programming. It's still the same thing. It's just what you're doing with it. So all the same types of vulnerabilities and dumb things we do when we write code, you're not immune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole idea of like being like a vigilante, like you're gonna give those cheaters their just desserts.
It's the
like,
Batman of game hackers. You're right.
He doesn't kill.
No.
He doesn't kill. He just crypto locks their stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
This particular malware though says it's disguised in the form of an installer or a zip archive. It disguised as game cheats or other gaming related tools. And when you download it, you get a zip archive with four components. And upon execution, this long bit here that describes in detail what it does. This is my first time reading it, so bear with me. Bear with me. Sends detailed information about the infected machine. Ooh, actions such as maintaining persistence or hiding processes. How to download or configure new payloads. So definitely, command and control server. So definitely a lot of
sounds like malware.
Yeah, it's the full gamut.
A lot of fun buzzwords that we love to see.
The part that keeps throwing me is it keeps talking about targeting student gamers. Like
why is it student gamers?
Why students? What is the importance of students in this whole thing? I'm lost.
That's a good question.
There's a specific student they're going after. They know the a-hole. I got you. Headshot 549. Every time I play this game, you get me, and I'm coming for you. I don't care if I have to burn every other gamer to the ground to get to you.
Headshot 549 is his name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's probably the most innocent Xbox gamer tag that you will
see. Listen, we got a show to do.
That's true. No, that's true.
You're going to be hearing from Headshot 549 later this week. He's like, I am innocent.
We've slandered
be
Headshot 549.
The good name of Headshot 549. It is. I would be curious to know why educational institutions why students are being targeted. Yeah. So maybe more information. It kept saying like, hey, be on the lookout, gamers and educational students or whatever, like, but not any mention as to why. So
yeah. Right.
maybe whoever's behind this will write a manifesto or something and explain us why they're so eager to target them. We will stick with the gaming theme here for just a little bit longer.
We've
talked several times in the last several weeks about Nintendo and their legal might that they love to flex. So there's
a-holes.
Yeah. Wow. There was a Switch modder that we talked about recently, alleged Switch modder, has taken on Nintendo without a lawyer. So they're just going to face
all right.
them. Yeah, several monos on Nintendo's team. So
on one hand, that's kind of brilliant, though. Right?
Brilliant to face him alone, like without a lawyer?
And here's why. Because Nintendo has how much money to pay lawyers to keep you tied up forever in a day? I'm not going to pay a lawyer at all. I'm just going to show up, and I'm going to fight you one-on-one. It don't cost me nothing but a day off work. And you're spending how much, Nintendo? So, yeah, let's fight. I'll go to every court proceeding you want to go to, and I'm going to file continuances, and I'm going to... So, in one way, it might actually be a stroke of brilliance in this strategy.
That's an interesting perspective. Because this article talks about, usually if you are hit with some kind of a cease and desist by a company like Nintendo that has you know, all this money to keep you busy forever, you're either gonna we'll give in or come to a settlement, or yes, I'm guilty, I did it, I'm sorry, whatever, rather than hire a lawyer, because that costs a lot of money. So this is the owner, alleged owner of moddedhardware.com, and I think we did talk about this one several months ago. Ryan Daly is his name, and he has decided to represent himself. So back in March, Nintendo said, hey, buddy, you are, selling... I'm sure they didn't say buddy. I'm sure they used very official formal terms.
They're good friends.
They didn't say buddy in their formal cease and desist. Dearest buddy.
It's Terrence and Philip from South Park. Hey, buddy.
to whomever
buddy.
Got,
buddy?
he was allegedly selling modded Switch consoles, console modding services, and piracy-enabling devices. Oh, I do remember this. The MIG Switch card. I remember us talking about
MIG,
this.
Yep.
And at the time, he verbally and in signed writing agreed to refrain from selling these things. But after months of him continuing those sales and ignoring further contact from Nintendo, the company said, hey, okay, we're filing a lawsuit. And he's gonna fight it. So honestly, like, I can appreciate the moxie that he's exhibiting here, the chutzpah. I don't think I would have the guts.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I would be terrified.
Has got some brass ones.
I'm feeling like this is not going
to
work out well for him, but, more power to him.
What do you think about, game modding, hardware mods, and them saying, you can't do that. You can't mod the system. You don't actually own it.
Yeah, that part just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whether it's the game hardware you have, we hear about John Deere tractors, right?
Oh, yeah,
that whole
don't
movement
get me started
because
on
they
that.
Can't do anything with their tractors. And
yeah,
like,
$500,000 tractor.
I own this.
No, you don't.
I own this.
And here's the thing, Mike. Ownership is such a nasty word.
I mean, I get it if you were leasing it. That's one thing. But
totally.
If you bought that tractor, you bought that Switch.
To the tune of $500,000.
Yeah, on the cheap side.
Right.
You should be able to modify that thing.
Right. If I want to turn it into a potted plant, that should be my business.
Yeah. I was curious as to whether he had somebody had started like a Kickstarter or GoFundMe or something to back him up. Not yet. But it wouldn't surprise me if just purely because of the guts that he apparently has to have to be I'm going to take on Nintendo one-on-one, I would not be surprised if gamers come together and they're like, let's support him.
Headshot 549 is like, I'm on your side.
Maybe he is Headshot 549. That's him. That's his secret identity. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly. So it wouldn't surprise me if they start, gamers rise up. We're going to back him up on this one.
This is the V for Vendetta of gamers.
You're going to see Reddit threads start to pop up. Support him here.
More people need to rewatch V for Vendetta. That was a great
movie. It was a really good movie.
I haven't seen that in ages.
I really, full disclosure, I only watched it because I had Natalie Portman in it, and I really like her. And then I came for Natalie Portman. That's why I watched, but I stayed
me too.
For the plot. That's why I initially wanted to watch it, and then
at the whole V speech at the beginning.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was like, this is cool.
As soon as I started watching, I'm like, ooh, this is interesting.
I'm into this.
So, yeah, maybe this is the new, what is his name, Guy Fawkes?
It was The Mask.
The Mask, yeah.
The Mask is
so
Guy Fawkes, yeah.
Maybe it's not.
The Mask is a different movie.
Yes, The Mask is a different movie. Son of the Mask. An even different movie.
An even more different
that,
movie.
Yes.
Maybe Ryan Daly is the Guy Fawkes that we needed, that
He's
we didn't
Guy
know
Fawkes
we deserved.
549.
Yes. Guy Fawkes, yeah. Well, getting into a little bit, this is the interesting territory that I was talking about. And if there was ever an article that was going to get me fired up, it's probably going to be this one. Hacked AI girlfriend data shows prompts describing CSAM. And that, to me, just reading that headline, I'm already pissed that this is even a problem that we have to worry about. I mean, I know it's an issue that exists, but every time that it's brought to my attention, I get, like, pissed all over again.
Yes. It makes me want to find them and have, a bucket full of rocks with me.
Yeah.
And I'll let your imagination go where it will. But, so, you've got AI. AI has become, obviously, quite a large thing, and everybody's rushing to make it do whatever they can make it do. And we all knew eventually we were going down this road, and it's very quickly found itself on this type of path. I get it, right? You got your thing, you want to do your thing, that's fine. But when we discover that you are using it for this type of activity, like, I feel, like, I mean, you're monitoring everything else. Why not this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Why not that? And then come down with the wrath of Almighty God. You know what I'm talking about? Like, some real biblical type of punishments when it comes to the people that are engaging in this activity. And I get it. There's some weird gray matter because it's not real people.
It's a very slippery slope.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. That's exactly, you took the words right out of my mouth.
It's the same with this, the AI generated imagery. It's like, okay, no, it's not a real kid, but that's not, what are you perpetuating by allowing this to be generated?
Yeah, I think as far as the law goes, it doesn't matter if it's a real human.
Good.
It's the context. But it thinking about this, like the whole AI girlfriend thing, just like,
well,
I think, man, I am old because
I read an article last week that said Japan has not had a birth in 3 months. The country of Japan.
That can't be true.
That's kind of
scary. So they're selling more adult diapers than children's diapers because they are not reproducing because of the culture has shifted into a technological culture where men are not wanting to bother themselves with having to find
court a woman. It's easier
and
to have a robot girlfriend.
It's easier to have a robot girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. And I hear that the same is true for China. That's not something that's on the front page news.
Mm-hmm.
That they are also having trouble. We have trouble in the United States. You need X amount of people to keep the system moving.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're not maintaining that level of population, then things start breaking down. Things start going down. And if we continue to allow this to be the kind of thing that people do, it's just going to keep going on. And then
I say wipe us all out.
Yeah.
Mike's for he's like asteroid 2024.
I mean, have you seen this place? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then and then we keep messing it up. So you know what? Get rid of everyone. It'll be good. No, it'll be there to enjoy it, but it'll be good.
No, it'll be there to enjoy it. The microbes will have.
Reading about this, this article, though, reminds me of the same thing about there's these apps for clothing removal.
Yeah.
So, like, you can take a picture of someone. Like, the way they advertise it is you can take a picture of someone, and then you can put them in any clothes you want. But one of the things a lot of the apps do is also put them in no clothes.
Aha.
Wow.
So that's becoming a problem with, teens.
If this isn't the stone on that side of the scale that tells you, let's just ditch AI. I don't know what is.
You know, I am on that bus. I fully am in support of that. I think that, that's kind of what I was saying earlier. It's like we're so eager to, new thing, innovate.
Right.
And yeah, I get it, and that's great. And, Walt Disney would be proud you're innovating. But, at some point, you go so quickly that you don't stop to think about what you're doing and the implications it could have.
What's that line from Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park. Dr. Ian Malcolm. You're exactly. Dr. Ian Malcolm today.
Yeah, sure. Hey, I'll be Jeff Goldblum any day. All right,
that's slapping totally it on a lunchbox.
That is completely okay with me.
They're gonna sell it.
So this, in particular, this
condors.
This article, we probably can't show some of what's in it because it does describe some of the scenarios, but it did stem from a website that allowed you to create uncensored adult scenarios, right? And of course, like anything else, people are going to find a way to, when you have something like that, it's only a matter of
time. It's
going to
be abused.
Before it. So it just, it's the two things that two of the things that piss me off most in the world.
I think that the speed in which AI is increasing and the speed in which we are incorporating it, that's the danger part of it. I'm not against innovation. I'm not even against AI, honestly. In theory, per se.
Right, it's a tool.
Right. What we need to do is go, this is something unlike what we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
And this is analogous to the invention of the atom bomb, right? Something that could be so destructive that we need to really slow our roll on allowing it out into the world, right? Let's figure out good ways in which it can be used in the right here and now, and then we'll put really good private sector, government sectors to figure out how it's going to be used in the future, and then we met that out at a paced rate.
It's scary. It's a scary world we're living in. I can hear the trumpets. I just am waiting, you know. I'm just waiting. So yeah, that one was a little heavy.
It was.
Moving into this next one, though, I think this is going to be our last one today. If you're a TikTok user, no shame. Me too. Okay. And I actually got somebody in the comments hated on me for it a little while ago. They were like, "How are you going to be working at this company and be on TikTok?" Dude, I don't know what to tell you, man. You're right. I don't know what to tell you, but I am a TikTok user. TikTok is currently being sued by multiple U.S. states, and the reasoning is that people are alleging this app is advertising itself as safe for children when it is not safe for children. When I first saw this, I thought, oh, sure, it's unsafe for children in the same way that Roblox is unsafe for children and that you're going to have predators and stuff that are going to infiltrate any space that's meant to be for kids, teens, whatever.
Yeah.
But the allegation here is that TikTok is unsafe for children's mental health. And I don't disagree, but I am curious to know how far this is going to go, and can you actually sue
a Chinese government?
Well, yeah, I mean,
sue any company. I mean,
you can sue a ham sandwich if you want.
It's the same thing as Instagram, right? Like you
nailed it.
People posting these pictures of themselves on Instagram and then editing them to, you know, look perfect, whatever, and then everyone else is looking at that and being like,
"It sets up."
I need to not eat because I want to look like that. You know,
I think the underlying argument that they're trying to make is that the algorithm that they are using is meant to be addictive.
I mean, it's the same algorithm that any social media
and
thing
that they
is.
Are a nation state that we are unfriendly
well,
with.
Well, that now you're getting the truth.
Right.
Now we're getting to the truth. If TikTok was owned by some, you know, U.S. billionaire,
none of this
would be an issue.
No.
It would because, be, we'd be lauding
because we
innovation.
Have our own versions of TikTok. They're called Instagram and Facebook and X and all the other things that we do.
I mean, the algorithm's just doing what it's supposed to do. I was thinking about that the other day.
So
I love Threads. It's great. I post pictures on there, and then other photographers comment on it, and I comment on theirs, and people are like, hey, here's today's photo challenge. Post a photo of whatever, and then you post that, and I was like, man, I am totally in on this algorithm.
It will become a cesspool.
Oh, eventually.
It's but a matter of time.
It will.
Right? It's like a politician that's green and goes to Washington. Even if they are sincere in their beliefs, give them time.
I mean, is anyone sincere in their beliefs by the time they get
somebody
to Washington?
Somebody said, it doesn't matter who you send us, we will corrupt them.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who it was. It was a politician that said, it doesn't matter who you vote in and send to D.C., we'll corrupt them.
Man, how did we... We sure took a left turn on this one.
Ironically, it is a D.C. attorney that is leveraging this case and saying that TikTok needs to be held accountable for harming D.C. children mentally. He calls it digital nicotine.
I'd be really interested in seeing the evidence that's presented in these cases.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
How do you prove it? Yeah.
Well, not even that it's being proved or not, just that what data have they collected on this... That points to a smoking gun one way or another, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be really just interested in the data from a purely objective standpoint.
Yeah.
Well, TikTok is saying we've already tried to take steps to make this safe for children. We've launched screen time limits that are turned on
Said
by default for users under 16, and has been trying to work with attorneys general over the past couple of years on this. And they're saying concerns outlined in the newly filed lawsuits are industry-wide challengers, like you guys were saying, rather than a TikTok-specific issue.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that either. Yeah.
But the fact that they're an unfriendly nation state, that we're constantly being targeted by
doesn't really help their case.
Digitally, it's like, why are we allowing this? Like,
previously, they were sued because for allegedly collecting data on children unlawfully. So that was in TikTok specifically was sued a couple months ago. So this is not their first rodeo.
It feels like what the game plan is just, we'll just go full bore, and when someone complains, we'll pull it back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And until they complain again, we'll keep doing it that way. And then when they complain, we'll pull it back a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll do just enough to abate their complaints. They're like, oh, yeah, no, we're instituting all these limits on 16-year-olds and blah, 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 blah. Like, I remember reading an article about how the algorithm for TikTok in America is completely different than the algorithm. They don't call it TikTok in China, but it's the same company. They make this. It's the same product. And the algorithm there promotes science and math and aerospace. And here, it promotes people doing dances.
Yeah.
And, like, drinking, you know, a whole bottle of Maalox or whatever. You know, I'm making stuff up, but dumb, stupid things for the purposes of a uninformed, unintelligent society is easy to overthrow.
It's interesting here. I did not realize this. It says the app is estimated to have 170 million U.S. users, and that's they believe that to include over half of Americans aged 13 to 17. Over half of the population ages 13 to 17 are TikTok users. Like, I knew it was big, but
yeah,
that's insane.
Got to get those dances in.
I guess, man. I've tried, like, I've seen TikTok, and I think, man, I know I'm old when I look at TikTok because I don't understand.
I like that your generation is calling it brain rot content.
Yeah, it's literally what it is. Yeah, it rots your brain.
I think that is such an apt description
of the
vast majority of content that goes on those.
At least we're honest about it.
Yeah.
We're fully aware of what we're doing to ourselves. So, yeah, I will be curious to see how this case moves forward. And what
be very interesting.
Yeah, what kind of evidence comes forward. That does it for our articles today. Given that we are in Deadwood, and of course we're here for Wild West Hacking Fest 2024, if you didn't know, it's going on today, Wednesday, as we're filming this, through this Friday. And Mike, if I remember correctly, you are actually going to be doing some talks.
I am.
Maybe we could have a little sneak peek as to what you're going to be. I mean, you don't have to like go into the content. I don't want to spoil it, but like, what are you going to be talking about?
Yeah, so I've got a main stage talk, an hour talk. And I did a blog series that came out this summer, a 14-part blog series that was on different shellcode obfuscation techniques. So different ways to hide your shellcode in your loader so that you don't get detected. And it looked at different means and how effective they were, and some were more and some weren't, and so on and so forth. And the talk is kind of based on that series. And then I'm doing two tool shed talks, which are 15-minute talks talking just about a specific tool that you've written. So I'm doing a talk on a tool I wrote called Jargon, which is a shellcode obfuscation technique, and Jigsaw, which is another shellcode obfuscation technique. So got, I think, two talks on Friday and one talk tomorrow.
Wow.
So, well, at least you're not busy.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
Present Mike is...
He's
not happy with past Mike's decision-making skills.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we grabbed you today for the show because, it sounds like you're going to be quite occupied the next couple of days.
Happy to be here.
Before we sign off, since we are here for Wild West Hacking Fest, I'm curious, what are you looking forward to most? Daniel, we'll start with you.
My favorite thing to do here is being able to like meet up with guys like Mike, all my friends that typically were texts, emails, LinkedIn, and that kind of stuff. I actually get to hang out with my friends, and we talk, and we have a good time, and maybe get to sit a good talk or two. I'll probably be in Mike's talks because those always go really well, and I enjoy that kind of stuff. So, that's and just being here in Deadwood because it's just
it's a nice
break from being in Florida.
No kidding,
right? Where Florida has some beautiful pieces to it. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but the mountains they call to me.
Yeah,
in my soul.
It's also nice to not be in the path of a hurricane.
There is that.
That is a plus. Besides your talks, Mike, anything you're looking forward to in specific?
You know, it's a lot of what Daniel said. I come here and I get to see people and have conversations with them that I don't get to see. I get to meet a lot of new people, which is great, but I also get to see a lot of my tribe that this might be the only time of year I get to see them.
Yeah.
You know, and so I get to chat with you a bit. I see you on LinkedIn, like I like your post, you know, and like post and make a comment, but that doesn't sum it up, you know, like that doesn't
it's not the same.
Do it justice. Yeah. It's not the same. So getting to actually see people and get those few, you know, wander off in a corner and having a couple of meaningful conversations. And one of the things that I really love about this con versus some of the other cons, it kind of has that DerbyCon vibe, which is check your ego at the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's a bunch of smart people here.
There's a lot of smart people here. And if you're a smart person, you're very welcome here. But if you're a smart person who thinks they're the smartest person in the room and treats other people accordingly, you're not welcome here, which is one of the things that I love about being here because it doesn't matter who you are, if you're an intro person or someone, the most experienced person in the industry, they're accessible. And you can have great conversations with people without without a lot of ego and pretense. So that's one of the things I really like about coming here versus, you know, I've been to a lot of great cons, but I haven't been to many that have this vibe. So that's one thing that keeps me coming back.
You know what can be really cool about that as well? I really agree with a lot of what you're saying. Is like, if you're new, you think, oh, I'm going to be around all these people, and their day-to-day job is red teaming or pen testing or GRC or whatever the case is, and, you know, they're up here and I'm down here. A lot of inspiration can come from having those conversations where somebody, you know, got the gumption to come up and say, hey, I follow your work. I really like what you do. And you start a conversation, and then that person goes, huh, through that conversation, I got an idea. You made me think about something. Oh, I can make this easier. We can make this better. A lot of times I walk away from this con with a lot of inspiration and ideas.
Yeah.
For my next year, what I want to do, how I want to do it, what I want to learn, where I need to go. You get your finger on the pulse of what people are doing. And so if you want to do that, it's a great way to go, oh, this is how I should start. I should emulate this.
Yeah.
I should start learning about that thing. Remember, the first time I came to Wild West Hackenfest, I was fairly new to cybersecurity at the time. I didn't know. Everybody kept talking about meme cats. What the heck is what's up? Are they saying meme cats?
Meme
cat. What are we doing? Is it Nyan cat? I don't know. Is there a rainbow coming out of his butt? He flies across the screen. No, it's a tool. So I write these things down, right? And you start to build this knowledge. So it's really great for the. And of course, nobody here has that ego. They want to help you. They want to go, oh, you never heard of Mimikatz? It's so awesome. You never heard of Evil Jinx? It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Come with your questions. Ask people. Have conversations.
Absolutely.
This is the biggest benefit. And then you might make a friend. Mike and I, it's how we met.
Yep.
I set Mike's talk. I said, this guy's doing some cool stuff. I want to talk to him about it. I said, hey, loved your talk. Next thing you know, he's coming out to the studio. We're filming a series. Then we're talking cameras and we're talking fishing and we're, right? Friends out of it. It's so cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go to a con, find a B-Sides, but if you can come to Wild West Hackenfest, you should absolutely do it because it's kind of like the best of all those worlds all rolled into one.
You know, one thing I wanted to say was, like, if you're new, you know, a lot of times you're new, you don't have a lot of experience, you come here and you're like looking up like, oh, that person's so smart and they know all those things. But one thing I always want new people to know is, like, you have experience and a point of view that I don't have.
Right.
So, like, I've talked to people like, oh, I'm just a sysadmin, or, you know, I just did whatever, and you know, like, you know, blah. You know, I'm really good with spreadsheets, so I do this thing. It was like, tell me more. Like, that,
yeah.
I have to work with spreadsheets more than I want to. And that
for them, it's
helpful.
Just, you know, everyday stuff.
Yeah,
and for
see,
you,
yeah.
It's like, well, hey, hang on. Like, let me hear about that.
Everyone has something that they can share here. And that's a great thing about check your ego at the door with this con is that, like, even really experienced people can learn things from these people that are new if we give them a platform to share that information. Mm-hmm. So if you're new here, you know, It might be uncomfortable if you're a shy type of person, but, you know, stick your hand out, introduce yourself, and have some conversations because, man, you can't get this kind of experience in a lot of places.
No. The ticket price will be well worth it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a great community. It's super fun to come. This is my second year, and I'm very excited for the upcoming days. So we're going to go ahead and call it there. If you are here at Wild West Hackenfest, chances are you're probably not watching this because you're going to talk or something. But if you are here, we'd love it if you came and found us. I'm here, of course, Mike, Daniel, our director Christian is here. Ronnie Wong is here with us, so we would love if you come and said hello. That said, thank you so much for joining us for this special edition of Deadwood Technado. Thank you, Mike, for joining us, and we'll see you all next time.